Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
So here we are with part two of what we discussed in our previous podcast. We've been talking about why stay in the Southern Baptist Convention? Man, that is just taking something on head on, isn't it?
It is, especially in this environment where we just had the annual meeting. Hey, I'm Mark.
And I'm Dan.
And you're Dan. And across the table over here is Mark Halleck.
Hey, guys.
Pastor in Inglewood, Colorado. And we are at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary as we do this podcast. And I interrupted you, but we were talking about why stay in the Southern Baptist Convention.
We talked about the convention itself, you know, the extended family of churches and the leaders and the pastors that we have and the commitment of our institutions and our mission boards. But there's so much more to talk about. And so let's talk about some of those things that you normally wouldn't think of. Wow, this is really a part of what we do as a Southern Baptist Convention.
Absolutely. And you may have some people in your church who say, maybe we should be leaving the convention. Because basically, there are always people in your church that think you ought to be where you're not right now, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever we're doing, we need to do something different, right? Mm-hmm. And they can be influenced by outside influences, by Twitter or Facebook or something they hear or something they see. And they come to you and they say, hey, why are we Southern Baptists? Well, this podcast and the previous one, they can give you an answer. So share it with them. But one of the reasons we're going to move right on, Mark, is Send Relief. Mm-hmm. That's a North American Mission Board entity program. Mm-hmm. Send Relief includes disaster relief. And listen, you need to tell your folks this if they don't know this. But Southern Baptists are the third largest disaster relief organization in North America.
That's incredible. Say that again.
Third largest.
That's incredible.
Obviously, Red Cross is the largest, followed by Salvation Army. And number three, Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. I went and checked into. That's that great.
What school was that? What seminary did you go to?
I went and checked in a hotel, Dan. I'll just tell you what. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I recently checked into a hotel. And upon my recent check-in at this establishment, the guy saw my card, you know, North American Mission Board. And he said, North American Mission Board. He said, are you the disaster guys? I go, well, yeah, one way or another. No, I said, yeah, we do disaster relief. He said, well, that's amazing. He said, I'm a weekend television news reporter. And he said, every time there's a tornado in our county, you guys are there in your yellow hats, your yellow coats. And he said, you guys stay. He said, the other people come and go, but you guys will be there for weeks helping people clean up and doing stuff with the trees, helping with the chainsaws. And he just went on and on about us because he realized every time there was and he said, who are those people? And I said, those people are absolutely 100% volunteers.
That's right.
They come at their own expense. They do that because they love Jesus and they love people. And I mean, wherever there's a disaster, if you hear about a tsunami in some foreign land, if you hear about a forest fire, if you hear about an earthquake, even if you hear about something, you know, terrible, like a mass shooting, then you can know that when you go to your church next Sunday morning and you stand in that pulpit, you can say with a certainty that Southern Baptists are on the scene of that right now, that there are Southern Baptists who are caring for people, loving people, meeting their needs at this very moment. If you leave the Southern Baptist Convention, how are you going to do that?
That's right.
How are you going to have a presence in every broken, hurt place in North America? And like I said, they don't just come and leave in a few days. And here's some of the things they do. This is so cool. They'll bring mobile, portable child care kinds of places where they'll set up a child care center so that the families who have to clean up their homes after a tornado or a hurricane or a flood have a safe place to send their children for the day while they do the hard work of cleanup because it's a dangerous place to have kids around there. Or we'll bring in large semis that have washers and dryers so you can actually do your laundry even though you don't have electricity. I mean, in addition to feeding people, in addition to doing chainsaw cleanup, in addition to helping sweep out the mud from homes and everything else that we do, I mean, that's what we do as Southern Baptists. We're the third largest entity, and we stay, and we do it because we love Jesus.
Well, that's it.
Man, why would you want to walk away from that?
Listen, I just think of, you know, faith without works is dead in James. I think this is one of the ways we take that scripture and others seriously to say, listen, we love Jesus, and we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to show it in tangible ways. And Disaster Relief does that week in and week out all over the place.
And you mentioned, Dan, a few weeks ago that you were, just last episode, actually, you once were pastor of a little church in Elm, Missouri, of just, you know, a handful of people. And that's who I pastor now, is a church of about 50 people. But if my people, some of them say, hey, I would like to learn about how I could help in disaster relief. My own mother-in-law, she wanted to know about that. She's retired. All you got to do is call your state convention office, and they have disaster relief training. Your members can go to that training. They'll get on a list, and then when there's a disaster, they'll be called or texted and said, could you meet us here? And they can show up and do it. How are you going to do that if you're not in a denomination like Southern Baptist?
And here's one thing that's so important about that, and that is, and I so firmly believe this, and you guys do too, that every one of your people, every person in your church needs a ministry.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And for some of the people in your church, this becomes a ministry for them. They can get passionate about this sort of thing.
Yep.
And so turn them on.
Right. That's good.
The other thing Sin Relief does, we have a tremendous focus on foster care and adoption. And the importance of that. I mean, we are all just completely abhorred by abortion. But the other side of that is we need to really embrace foster care and adoption.
That's
so
right.
We have a huge emphasis there. We have a podcast on that. We have all kinds of resources for that and ways to help you do that. Also about human trafficking across North America and what a tremendous problem that is. And Southern Baptists are in the front lines of defeating that and combating human trafficking, hunger, all kinds of things that we're a part of, that you can be a part of. And we have these ministry centers across North America, many of them who focus, some will focus on immigrants and their needs. Some will focus on human trafficking. Some will focus on the poverty. And you can take your church members to one of these ministry centers and they can see firsthand how ministry can be done. Then you can take it back to your church. And you can model that. Look, there's plenty of ways you can learn about it. Go to nam.net. You'll find all kinds of stuff. I'm not the best spokesman in the world for this because I stutter and stammer and get too excited. I can't talk about it. But there's a whole lot of stuff there.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, yes, the church planting we talked about last episode. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, the evangelism we talked about and all that. But man, the ministry.
Yeah.
Hands-on, loving ministry of people that is Send Relief. Man, if you don't know about that, embrace it. And here's the deal. You ready? Another drum roll.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Send Relief is not only in North America, ladies and gentlemen, but North American Mission Board and our International Mission Board have partnered together, and Send Relief now is all across the world.
Wow.
So you don't have to go, do I go to the North American Mission Board or do I go to the International? You go to Send Relief, and you can be connected to Send Relief all across the globe.
Wow.
Now, if you walk away from the Southern Baptist, where, tell me, are you going to find that kind of opportunity to really meet the needs of people who need so much, and we can do it in the name of Jesus?
The practical things. One of the things that we haven't even touched on this, I'm surprised that you didn't bring this up because I know you're so passionate about that, and that's chaplaincy.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, Southern Baptists have more chaplains in the military than any other denomination. It's not even close.
Wow.
And you and I know, you know, what's happening in our military and all the pushback that chaplains are receiving for biblical stands and all those kinds of things. Let me ask you, how vitally important is it that in this day and age we have Southern Baptist chaplains who believe the Bible from Genesis to the map in the back, who have embraced the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, who have those strong doctrinal stands? How important is it that they're out there with our missions, our service personnel all around the globe, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, service personnel who are struggling with alcoholism and with all kinds of addictions and with divorce and with all kinds of even suicide. You look, the problems and stresses in families, of military families, are incredible. And to have military chaplains, you know, have 3,000 chaplains on the front lines there every day, 24 hours a day, not only among military families, but among first responders who have to go to the scenes of mass shootings and terrible car wrecks, and to have chaplains there, not only to deal with the victims' families, but to deal with the first responders who have to process that. Mm. Chaplains who are in hospitals, who are dealing with—I could go on and on and on. you have the most wonderful group of chaplains who love Jesus and who love his word and who are there places you could never go. These chaplains are in battlefields, they're in war zones, and they're there loving on members of our military, sharing the gospel, and baptizing them. We're seeing Christ bring, we're seeing the gospel come alive in the lives of many of these servicemen. And, let me get my breath, prisons. How about our chaplains who are serving in prisons? And not only the prisoners, but the families of inmates. And that's how important that is. And, you know, whenever you have a story of a prisoner who came to know Christ in prison and they come out of prison and their life is totally changed, you go, man, the gospel is powerful. And
amen.
I got personal stories of that, dude. I mean, there's a young man, and he won't mind me telling this story, a young man in our church in Linwood who was in prison. You know, I'm in Linwood. That's close to Lansing and Leavenworth. There are a couple of prisons in Lansing and Leavenworth, Kansas. Trust me. And so he was in prison, but he got saved in prison. I mean, he got saved in prison, and he's led and directed and discipled by chaplains in prison. He comes out of prison a totally changed man, finds out that he has a daughter he didn't know he had, and she's in Iowa. So he pursues her and finds her and finds out she's in foster care. And in a difficult situation. Well, here he is, a convicted felon, right? How in the world is he going to get custody of this young girl? I can't tell you everything he did. He had to do. He did. Got a job, went through all the paperwork, did all the diligent work. It was so hard. But eventually, guys, he received custody of his daughter. Mm. And his daughter, I was able to baptize her at our church not long ago. And she's a sweet young Christian girl, loves her dad. Her dad loves her. That's what that's what can happen to a prisoner in prison. You and I can't go inside that prison.
That's right.
The chaplains can.
That's right.
You want to walk away from that? You want to walk away from all those chaplains, military chaplains around the world? You want to walk away from all those hospital chaplains, all the chaplains in the prison, all those first responders? Because when you get up on Sunday morning and you tell your folks, we're part of this, you are part of it.
Yes, that's
right. I thank God for the chaplains that are out there.
Yep. Our first baptism, by the way,
just
as you're talking, our first baptism in our revitalization, little church of 30, hadn't seen a baptism in years, was a man by the name of Daniel. It's a very similar story, because of a chaplain in prison, led him to the Lord, and that chaplain said, the first thing you've got to do is you got to find a Baptist church near you. And we happen to be the church right behind the apartment, and he comes over and says, Pastor, I don't know what to do, but I got saved. He was our first baptism, and I'll never forget our group of older folks in tears as we baptized Daniel as that first baptism. It's amazing, but it's a testimony to the power of chaplaincy.
Absolutely.
In prisons.
Let's move on, because there's something you said last time, after we got done with the last podcast, that you wanted to talk something else about some of the seminaries that, and some of the things that our various seminaries are so involved in.
Yes, we have. Are you ready? Drum roll. Oh, I shouldn't do that. I don't know. We need sound
effects. We need a better drum roll.
We need sound effects. We need a better podcast.
I love your attempt, but that's a pretty weak drum roll. Let's be honest.
One-handed,
but I love your effort. Just trying, giving your part out for this drum roll.
We could bring a djembe in here. Is that what you call those boxes they play in worship now?
Oh, my Lord.
Is that a djembe? Is that what that is?
A cajon.
A what?
A cajon. That's what you're seeing these days.
Yeah. Well, I don't think the glory of God is brought in by a cajon. But
oh man, you know. What do you do? I play a big box. That's my musical talent. I play a big box.
Oh, I'm sorry. I like the cajon.
Okay.
So here's the deal. You ready for this? This is the drum roll. That in 2021, there were 12,476 students enrolled in your Southern Baptist seminaries.
Wow.
12,476 young men and women, and some of them, let's be honest, not that young, but that many men and women who are studying for ministry in some form or fashion. That's amazing. And you're a part of that. And you know that each one of those students in each one of those seminaries is receiving an education where the people instructing them believe the Bible
is true.
It is infallible. It is the Word of God. It is trustworthy in all things. 12,476. The largest seminaries in the world are your Southern Baptist seminaries.
Six of the 10 largest seminaries in our country are our six.
That's right.
Which is power, and like you said, and they are Bible-believing, Jesus-loving, mission-minded seminaries.
And if you are a Southern Baptist, you get a cooperative program discount
That's
or
right.
scholarship.
That's right.
So you can go to one of these great seminaries with some of the best faculties the world has ever known at a very, very reasonable cost.
Amen.
On the way over here today, as we were driving through first one fast food place and the line was too long, and then we started to drive through another fast food place and the line was too long.
Wait, let me interrupt here.
What?
Folks, we didn't mention this, or maybe we did in this one, but we're in New Orleans.
We're in New Orleans.
This place is a hot spot for great food, great restaurants.
Right.
Where does Clifton want to go? Can you run me through a McDonald's?
Can you run through McDonald's? It's true. You know, maybe before we leave, I'll check out a Popeyes.
It's Louisiana.
It really stretches.
Right, stretches, absolutely. So, hey, we were in line at McDonald's, and then we went over to another place. And finally, the line was so long in the car that we parked, and we sent Kyle in to get our food. So, anyway, but we did that. But, you know, I have no idea what I was talking about.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Can really
somebody
either,
help me?
I don't know.
If you knew what I was talking about, give us a call right now. Our lines are open.
We're talking about our seminaries.
I know.
New Orleans.
I know.
We got the food.
I got the food.
Came back over to the seminary.
Trying to help. I know. I'm completely lost.
I think that's just a sign that we should move on.
No, not really. No, yeah, maybe it is.
There are so many. Well, we only got so much time.
Oh, I know.
So let's go. You know what we can do? We can come back in the next podcast and we can pick it up again.
Listen, our seminaries are great.
Yes.
They're faithful. They're training up men and women for gospel ministry all around the world. Praise the Lord. That's the segue to the next one.
Well, here, and the thing about it is that our seminaries are some of the very things that we've been talking about, our chaplaincies and our relief. And, you know, our seminaries teach not just people to be pastors,
right.
but there's so many other things that they teach them to do.
Right.
And along with that comes that responsibility, because of the different roles that people do, to connect with our associations.
I know. Yeah.
And, man, do we have a network of associations.
I know. Yeah, we do. We have over 1,200 local associations, and they range in size from maybe as small as 20 churches to as large as several hundred churches.
Okay, so Clifton, listen. So when somebody says, why should I be part of my association?
Right.
What would you say?
Well, I would say because it's a family of churches. It's right there close by, and you want to be very much part of that wonderful network. And look, I realize that there's a lot else going on. You got a lot to do, but you get as much out of something as you put into it.
Mm-hmm,
and the
mm-hmm.
opportunity to know that I can really engage locally in my local field with my local association,
yeah.
and I can have some deep friendships over the years, yeah. and these friendships will help me accomplish what I need to do where I am. Look, a friend of mine once said, you know, the association is like your immediate family. Mm-hmm. The state convention is like your cousins and stuff you see pretty often. And the national convention, those are like your relatives you meet at Christmas, you know, and basically... And maybe Thanksgiving. That's about it. And that's true. The association's where you're really closely related.
Yeah.
And they can help you develop a strategy for your church. For example, let's say that you need help with children's ministries. Man, you call your director of missions in your association. You say, hey, can you help me connect to a large church in my area that has a children's minister? Maybe they can come over to our church, take a look at our building, give us an audit of our children's ministry, and how we should maybe resize it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing
yes.
is so important. And you have a chance to be part of your local area. So we have local, and every association has a moderator, or it has a director of missions or a mission strategist, someone you can connect to. You're never very far away,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have state conventions, you know, state conventions that love their people, that are focused on the actual context of Louisiana or the context of Alaska or the
yep.
context of Minnesota, Wisconsin. They understand your context. They know what you're going through. They create all kinds of great resources and conferences and retreats for you and for your family. How are you going to reproduce that if you leave the Southern
That's
Baptist
right.
Convention?
Yep.
It's a great family, a network
yeah.
where we can all work together. And we can have all these great relationships. And so one of the greatest strengths we have, and this is important, the national entities, like the North American Mission Board, your association, your state convention, they are all autonomous.
Uh-huh.
We don't have one person telling all of them what to do. The churches tell all of them what to do.
Uh-huh.
Churches send messengers to the national convention. Churches send messengers to the state convention. Churches send folks to the association to vote. Is the churches that run all three of those organizations.
Yep, yep.
And you say, how does it work? None of us really know. You can't really write it out, but there isn't a hierarchy, and it is the leadership is all with the local church.
Mm.
Man, you don't want to walk away from that.
It's really right. important to point out, too, that really it's the top down, if you consider the governance from the top down, the top is your church.
Yes.
The people in your church.
Absolutely.
They're the ones that really are the ones that you answer to.
That's right.
So it's important, I think, to understand that our entire convention is run by local churches.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're
yes.
part of that.
Right.
Yep.
And so, you know, you walk away from it, you're walking away from the largest denomination on the face of the earth that is run not by a group of individuals in a corporate office, but by local churches.
That's right.
Who get to send messengers both to the national meetings, the state meetings, and the associational meetings. It's an amazing thing, and we are deeply grateful for it. Grateful for the cooperative program that lets us all work together for
Amen.
Missions. Grateful for everything that God has chosen to do. You know, some people have said, oh, you know, Southern Baptist Convention, its days are numbered. No, like I said, God has other plans, and he's blessing this place.
Yes.
And wherever he's blessing, the adversary is going to work really hard.
That's right.
So we're going to have all kinds of, look, I don't know if this comes as a surprise to you all or not, but there was actually problems in the first century church, all right?
I read about them.
You know, that's why we had to write letters to Colossae and to Corinth, and that is why they had to have a Jerusalem council, right?
That's right.
This side of heaven, we're always refocusing and redreaming and trying to, but we do that together. We do that as a brotherhood. We don't separate and walk away.
Right.
So please, stay together.
I love it.
And the last reason, the last reason that you do not want to leave the Southern Baptist Convention, is this is the birthplace. This is the home office of Revitalize and Replant Podcast.
That's true. If it weren't for the convention, we wouldn't be.
No, and we've been doing this now since the 1960s, and it's been going real well. Decades. Yeah. We are the new Baptist Hour. Is the Baptist Hour still a thing?
Oh,
I can't remember. Do you remember the Baptist Hour?
I do remember the Baptist Hour.
Frank Pollard preached on it for years, and somebody before that, it was always, Mark, you don't remember this.
I don't.
Something called the Radio and Television Commission. And they would do programs like Powerline,
which was the big one, and radio
stations back then had to play a certain number of public affairs programming.
Okay.
So we would provide like music program, other programs, and we would send them out to radio stations, and they'd play them for free.
Huh.
So we had Powerline, which is sort of a soft rock kind of thing with a little bit of gospel preaching or insight between them. We had the country one, which was Country Crossroads.
Yeah, that was it.
Country Crossroads, and it was on country stations. And then we had the Baptist Hour, which was someone preaching every Sunday morning.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We're going to change the name of this to the Baptist 20 Minutes.
The Baptist 20 Minutes.
Baptist 20.
It's inflation, you know. I guess.
So anyway, just a little history there. But that's one reason to stay is the history.
Yeah.
We are on the shoulders of men who back in the 30s and 40s said, man, let's get on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something. Let's get on television. Yeah. And by the way, if you know who Jot was, honestly, if you'll find an image of Jot and you'll email that to me,
no
I have a special gift I'll
oh
send
my
to you.
Lord.
Do you remember Jot?
Oh, of course.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll leave it there.
You've got to be over 80 okay. to
we'll
remember
it,
Jot.
We'll leave it there to remember Jot. But he was a Southern Baptist creation.
He was a Southern Baptist creation.
Okay.
And a mistake to start with. A lot of people didn't know that. All right. We're wrapping it up here. Thank you guys so much for listening and making this a part of your day. We want to be a blessing in what we do. We pray that we will touch on subjects that will be helpful and encouraging to you and your ministry, and we hope that you will come back again and again and again and share this information with other people. Share the information about the podcast, and if there's a place on the podcast format that you listen to where you can like us or you can subscribe or something like that, please do. It helps us in our marketing. So we'll be back again next time with more of this scintillating conversation. on Revitalize and
You don't believe that.
With
I can
Mark
tell Clifton. You don't believe that.
I don't even know what scintillating
I don't
means.
Either, but we'll be back. Maybe. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.